It is kind of amazing, isn't it, when you think about it, that some people obey the rules, the commandments, because they are hoping that they can get a reward or to avoid punishment, when perhaps the best reason of all is because they're gifts from God. It's His way of saying, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. And when we obey, it's our way of saying, we'll love you forever, we'll like you forever. Always. Tonight, I want you to think about a portion of John 14, which is the farewell discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel is filled with promises. We saw and heard some of those beautiful promises last week. Tonight, we hear some more. This is how Jesus begins. He says, I will pray to the Father. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Spirit of the truth, who will be with you forever and always. I will ask the Father, and He'll give you some help. Help has arrived. That's what St. Peter says in his baptismal homily in 1 Peter. Baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And our union with Christ in His death, and our union with Christ in His rising. Our daily dying and rising through what Luther calls repentance, the lifting up of sinners that God is transforming into the image of Jesus as His beloved saints, loving us always, liking us forever through the forgiveness of sins. God sends help our way. You heard it in our opening song for tonight. When I was in trouble, well, what do you need if you're in trouble? Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus lifted me. That's the resurrection. He lifts us out of the grave, the watery grave of death, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to give you another helper. Well, the word is paraclete or parakletos, and it, depending upon the Bible you read, it has a whole bunch of translations, and quite frankly, I love them all. That's the beautiful thing about paraclete or parakletos. If you just reduce it to one word, then you kind of minimize the Holy Spirit. But when you enrich it with lots of different translations, like advocate, someone who comes alongside, someone who's like a public defender, who speaks on our behalf, or a comforter, wrapping us in our times of sorrow and grief, a counselor, when we're lost and confused and is guiding us, the helper. It's okay to ask for help. The friend. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down their life for a friend. I don't call you servants because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I call you friends. I call you friends. I pray to the Father, and He's going to give you another friend. Paraclete, comforter, counselor. He's going to give you a helper. It's okay to ask for help. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers flee, and comforts fail. Help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. That's the promise Jesus is giving in his farewell discourse in John chapter 14. I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to give you another helper, because Jesus is the helper, the paraclete, another helper. It's the Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus. And he will abide with you, remain with you, stay with you forever. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Jesus says, and because I live, you also will live. Beautiful, unbelievable promises that Jesus keeps bestowing. Remember the context of what's happening there. The farewell discourse, John 13 through 17, begins with a foot washing, ends with the high priestly prayer. Jesus announces the betrayer. Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him three times before the cock crows. They're all going to desert him. Jesus says, a new commandment I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The source and the measurement of love. And in our gospel reading for tonight, he says, if you keep my commandments, you prove that you love me. You prove that you love me when you keep my commandments. The commandments, all summed up in one word. Love, as defined by Jesus Christ in his dying and in his rising for the forgiveness of our sins. It's okay to ask for help. It was D.L. Moody, years ago, who said, it would be as foolish to try to hear without ears or to breathe without lungs as it would be to try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart. Jesus prays to the Father, and he promises another helper. Help has arrived. We were watching our grandson, Jonah. Couple of days. We had him overnight. He's 20 months old. I got him up Friday morning and got him changed and dressed. He wouldn't let his grandma do it. Well, I took care of that, and then I needed to take him over so grandma could watch him with the other kids. He comes up to me with his shoes in his hands, and you know what he said? Baba, help. Help, please. So I put his shoes on. And then I put his jacket on, and he looks at me and says, Baba, help. Help, please. Because he knew what he couldn't do. He couldn't zip that zipper up. He needed help. And I was so grateful that at 20 months, he's not self-sufficient. He doesn't believe that it's a sign of weakness to have to ask for help, to know our limitations, and to ask for help. When I went away and I was a freshman in college at Concordia College, you know, you don't like to think that you're weak. My parents had to drop me off on a weekend, and orientation didn't start until the Thursday. That meant from Sunday afternoon until Thursday, I was there on campus by myself. Now, if you've ever felt abandoned or desolate or orphaned in your life, you'll know that as an 18-year-old graduating from high school, you think you're on the top of the world, and you've got the world by the tail. But after my folks left and went home, there I was all alone. And the only other ones in the dormitory were some of the jocks, the football players who had come early, and they were in a world of their own. That night, before I went to bed, I thought, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I don't want to be here. When you feel all alone, abandoned, forsaken, desolate, orphaned. Well, the next morning I got up, ate breakfast by myself, walked around campus, walked around in the community all by myself. And then I called my mom later that afternoon and said, she said, well, how's it going? I said, I'm not so sure this is a good place for me. I mean, I didn't want to cry and say, I'm just a baby. And I was just at the end of it all by that evening. I wanted so much just to be rescued. I wanted to go home. And then there was a knock on the door. I opened the door, and there was Kip Mickelson. And Kip always had this big, radiating smile on his face. And when I saw him, I couldn't contain it anymore. I just began to weep. He said, well, I thought I'd drop by and see how you're doing, and we could go out for some pizza. You see, Kip and Dave, they were on a Concordia outreach team. They had stayed at our farm place when they came on this outreach team and had sung at my home church, and that was one of the reasons why I decided to go to Concordia College, you know, plus God opening up a wonderful doors. That was a transition time in my life. At a time when I was most helpless, when I felt orphaned or abandoned and alone, that Jesus, who said, I will send another helper. The Father will do that because I've asked him to. And he'll be with you always. He'll remain with you. He'll abide with you. When I was doing my daughter Rachel's wedding in Boise, Idaho, we had to go a week early. We had to make all the arrangements. It was in a church that they had rented. We didn't have any contacts there. We rented a house so that we could take care of all the logistics. It's not easy when your kids get married in a place where you don't have any contacts, right? So I took my laptop with and was going to work on the sermon while we're working on all the other arrangements and details and stuff. And then I realized, how am I going to run off my sermon? My notes, how am I going to do that? I didn't have a printer. And the gal that we had met at the church, who was the secretary, was the most unwelcoming person I've ever met on church staff in my life. Well, fortunately, I found a young man who was the youth director in that congregation where the wedding was going to take place. And he happened to say to me, Pastor Dave, I know you're from out of town. If you need any help, just ask. Help has arrived. I said, as a matter of fact, I do. I'm going to finish my sermon, and I need to run it off on a printer. He said, just bring your laptop over, and I'll take it off your laptop for you, and I'll put it through our printer, and you'll have it on paper. And he did that for me. And afterwards, he said, remember, if you need anything, just call me. I'm here to help. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the high places. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He won't let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He'll keep your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. That's the promise. The Lord is our helper, our friend, our counselor, our comforter, our paraclete. He remains, abides with us forever. That's the promise that Jesus gives in our gospel lesson for tonight. Luke was 3 years old. His mother was trying to get him to lay down for a nap. He wasn't agreeable. So mom says, we're going to lay down in mom's bed. So mom and Luke laid down in mom's bed. Mom fell asleep. Luke didn't. I don't know how much time had passed. But mom woke up startled. And then she noticed that at the foot of her bed was a chair. And here was little 3-year-old Luke, just looking. And she said, "Luke, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm playing God." "What?" "I'm playing God. I'm watching you, Mom, while you sleep." He knew that we lift up our eyes to the hills because we know where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Look at the promises that Jesus makes. "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you." Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The Father and I are one." Jesus says, "Greater works than I do, you will do, because you have the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit will be with you and in you, and God will work through you." Jesus said, "Whatever you ask me, I will give it to you." Promise after promise he pours out upon God's people. And so he gives us the Paraclete. And he says, "Because I live, you also will live." We keep his commandments not to earn a special place in heaven or not to escape hell, but because of love. The love of the Father through the Son in the gift of the Holy Spirit for you and for me. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, has arrived for you. Luther says, "I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life." This is most certainly true. Help has arrived. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.